The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell, and off we go. And Lance is back in studio as opposed, and he doesn't even have a boot on. Not even a boot or a cast of any sort whatsoever.
Well, now, let's also, not that it would have been needed, but let's also just say that I had only two hikes. So the wife is the one who did, she did three, and then she did the monster hike. Six-and-a-half-hour hike.
But you didn't... So, where were you while she was six-and-a-half-hour hiking?
I was watching Startup in my hotel room, laying down like a champion. And then I took a walk, and then I went to a distillery that Seth is... Although there's no alcohol there yet, so...
What?
Then I went and got an ice cream like a boss, and then... I had a gin drink.
Like a boss. Yeah. He got an ice cream like a boss. Okay, yeah. Laying down in his room like a champion.
She's like, "We did it! I'm so proud of you. That's great. That's great." Hold on, and I had to pause my show.
Well,
because the drug.
Why didn't you just?
It's
tell
getting thick. The Haiti. I'm on season one of Startup, and the Haiti. You know, Jay is having a problem with.
Here we go.
With Roy, the new Ray. Banshee. I can't remember his name. Yeah,
it's the new Banshee.
Way less sex though. Way less hard. And there's some violence, but not like in Banshee. But I was like, you know, really proud of her while resting and whatnot. But I had other things I had to do, you know. I'd catch up on some idea, organize some things in my head and look at some things with the Astros and then think about playoffs and whatnot. So, it was, listen, make no mistake, a trip to West Texas to hike. Does that sound like something I would organize?
No, doesn't sound anything like,
No, that's not. Now, a trip to Maine and Boston, and I did hiking there. Hiking in 58-degree weather, 62-degree, that's a whole lot better than 102.
Yeah, but didn't you fall down and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I had a fall. Right. It wasn't a bad one. It was just enough to make me think I maybe broke a wrist.
Right.
You know, but when the foot got caught inside, now that I have tinnitus, and my ears constantly ring, and it messes with my equilibrium a little bit. I think that makes it better for me to be up on the top of a mountain. Yeah. I think that's something.
Well,
I think that's a bonus.
No question.
I think that's a little bonus.
Isn't that what the doctor told you should do?
So,
you should go climb mountains.
That's
now.
Why I did everything I could to work every day so I wouldn't have to take vacation days. I'm like, this can't be called a vacation.
Yeah.
I can't let this stand.
No, I'll just
work. So I brought my stuff. And coming home, I was working again. We rushed home. Chris Solis did a great job of driving, getting us back in time so I could watch Dodgers and Astros.
Oh, my gosh. And it doesn't get any better.
I am super glad that I was able to get home in time to see not only an ineffective lineup. That's not even the lead. The lead is, once again, that, you don't get a quality start out of Zach Greinke. He wasn't bad, but he still didn't get a quality start, which we used to scoff at. Like, quality start is nothing. They've got to have something. This doesn't define a start. A quality start, six innings and three runs, that's a 4.5 ERA. Yeah, guess what? I'd kill for quality starts from the Astros right now because this bullpen, as it stands right now, I don't need to see any more. That was the most embarrassing performance by the bullpen of the year yesterday. And then on top of with everybody sucking, everybody who came in sucked. How many walked-in runs? Was it four? Four bases loaded runs walked in?
No, three.
Paredes
walked.
And Scrub, I know, were three. Was
three,
there another
three
one?
Three walked in, and then a fielder's choice got the last. Fielder's choice. That was in the ninth. But
Paredes
three,
couldn't find the strike zone at all.
No.
Scrub is finally living up to his name. He is a straight scrub.
That's
awful. That's what he is right
that
now.
That was unbelievable.
I mean, Ken Emanuel, one of the only guys you think can do anything for you, and most of that's off of the strength of the 8 2/3 in his first appearance. He goes out with an injury. So you had Joe Smith comes in, did his thing, you know, gives up a run. Anoli comes in, just terrible, terrible. Ken Emanuel comes in and ends up getting hurt and has to leave the game.
And then Scrub,
and then Scrub comes in and is just walk. It was terrible.
It was unbelievable.
It was unbelievably awful by the bullpen. And you took what was, and yeah, okay, 4-0 was a game that you felt like you couldn't come back from.
Yeah.
Or 4-1 at the time. 4-1 at the time. You felt like you couldn't come back. Was it 4-0 at the time?
It was a 5-0 before it was 5-1.
Oh, no, that's right. It was nothing. And you felt, before Braggy hit the home run, you felt like, okay, well, they can't come back from this. But just in case the bullpen want to let you know, no, we'll get the over. Or over betters, too, if y'all are worried about that. That's not a problem.
Did you have
that? I didn't touch it. But, yeah, no, the Astros were almost like a pick 'em in that game. For what?
I know.
For what? You played at halfway Dodger Stadium. What an embarrassment. When the stadium fills up with Dodger fans, look, I've seen Packer fans here, Steeler fans. I know that they
Cub
live here.
Fans.
Does this many Dodger fans live in Houston?
No, I think they might have traveled for this. I think they did.
They traveled.
They traveled just to get
just
here.
To come to our stadium and boo our players and chant.
Yeah.
That requires fighting.
Nope.
You people have to do your job. Do we have to pull Texans fans out to bring them in to start fighting people?
Wow. Calling for violence in the stands.
Now, listen, Dodgers fans have some, they've got some background with violence.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think the violent fans traveled.
The Giants.
Yeah, I'm well aware.
The ambulance, the firefighter or ambulance driver.
Yeah, that ended up being a death.
No, that was, yeah. Yeah, so but I don't think we call. I'm not sure we should call for that. I don't think that would be responsible, but okay.
I'm not calling for it. I'm just saying it needs to happen.
Well, that's kind of what calling for it is.
You can't let Dodger fans. Guys, what the hell? It's finally open. It's like an opening day. That felt like an opening day yesterday. It's an opening no COVID day.
Wow.
That's what it was, right?
And
that had that kind of energy. The place is full, and I couldn't believe
how
loud it was.
Four games after this team that was in Oakland just kicking ass.
Embarrassed by a team that had lost 9-10, and then the Dodgers, your number one nemesis in this whole thing, and they work you thanks to the bats go to sleep, and then the bullpen was just, and you know, look, Greinke was, he wasn't, once again, it's always like Greinke's not bad. He just has a stretch of some off pitches, but his stuff is not good enough to, I mean, Greinke's going to give up home runs if he's off.
Mm-hmm. No, Greinke's not. Greinke, either he's really, really good or he was Greinke last night. But Kershaw's not, I don't know why. What the hell? He's not that same guy. He can't hump it up there. I mean, I don't know why they're not. This team is a Jekyll and Hyde. They went through the stretch of losing, what, 8 of 9 or 9 of 10, whatever, earlier this year, and they looked like crap. And now they're back to that after they look so good, so confident. They just lose their confidence for whatever reason. It is amazing how bad it gets.
What's consistent about, you know, it's crazy.
There's nothing consistent about this team.
And it's crazy that the Astros have, you know, such a high team batting average because that doesn't always translate into runs.
Well,
and that's one of the issues.
It's feast or famine with them. That's the thing. It's feast or famine because they're in a famine right now. They look like crap offensively, defensively. Their bullpen is a disaster. This is just awful. And you know what? Who's going to pull them out of it? Luis Garcia. Luis Garcia tonight going to pull them out of this thing. Of all the guys in the world that you have to, you got Lance McCullers, this whole rotation of Greinke, a possible Hall of Famer, and Luis Garcia is going to pull them out. Watch. You watch tonight. He against Bauer. This is going to be a nice pitching performance by both teams.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, he has no quality starts, so he doesn't go. Quality start is 6 innings, 3 runs. He's never done it so far in 7 starts, which means the bullpen's going to be coming. I mean, and I'm to the point now where I recognize the smart thing is typical. Okay, the standard baseball intelligence thing is, Jake Odorizzi gets back, and Christian Javier is better than Odorizzi, so Christian Javier stays in the starting rotation and Odorizzi. But here's the thing. Your bullpen stinks. I don't know if Odorizzi can pitch from the pen. I have seen Christian Javier do it. I'm flipped on this. The pen is so bad now. The pen is so unreliable. And last year looks like a fluke just because it was a very small sample size. And now the brighter lights and the second time around where people have scouting reports on these guys. And look, Paredes isn't helping himself out. But I now recognize, okay, you know what? You actually need the better arm. You actually need the better pitcher in the pen. This is a very, very important month and a half coming up because James Click is going to need to do something. Something is going to have to be done. There isn't Salisbury had a poll thing when I came in and I had the radio on there from when I was listening to Astros when I was in the car yet last night. And a poll, can the Astros come back? The pen, are they good enough for a championship level? If all things, you know, all things considered, don't just be emotional. I'm like, good enough for a championship? They're not good enough, I don't think, to make the playoffs. Like, there's going to be a lot. We're in the early stages. Arms aren't even fatigued yet. What are we talking about
here? Well, this team looks really, really, really good at times, and then it looks like one of the worst teams in baseball.
48 starts, 17 quality starts. 17, almost. That's because
he pulls them before six innings.
What's that?
It's because he pulls them before six innings.
Well, but that's because their pitch count hits that early, too.
Yeah, right.
Like, it used to be not a big deal. We're getting close to a third of the starts are quality starts. That's it. And the leader, Zach Greinke, has the most at six. And that's over 50% of his starts. That's good. Lance McCullers has five out of his nine. So, technically, I think the percentage is a little better there. Christian Javier, three out of nine. Jose Urquidy, three out of eight. And then nobody else has a quality start outside of those four. I mean, Garcia, seven starts.
Watch tonight.
Odorizzi, three.
Watch tonight.
You think he can get six and three?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Watch.
You don't think the Astros hit?
I think the Astros will
against Bauer. You think it's a pitching duel?
Well, yeah, I like a pitching duel in this one. I like a duel between the two, and the Astros coming up on top.
Now, the one thing to be concerned about is Luis Garcia leads the team in homers allowed.
6-1
That's what I said.
So
they come up with big runs in the eighth. Oh, you don't think Astros score in the eighth inning?
Who's got six?
The Astros.
Okay.
They get to the Dodgers bullpen?
Yeah.
Late?
They get to the Dodgers bullpen. They get to the Dodgers starter. Trevor Bauer, his head is going to, with the Astros dominating the stands, and they're going to get into Bauer's head?
Hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It felt like not only did the Astros get it handed to them on the field, Dodger fans decided to make this Dodger Stadium southwest. And like, you know what? Let's have some fun in their own building.
Well, I'm going to be there tonight. So.
Are you going to change the tie?
You gotta straighten some things out.
I will. I'll straighten it out.
Like,
are you calling for me to fight somebody tonight?
I just said get things straightened out.
Okay.
Whatever that means, it means.
I'm not with Lance where you need to, you know, enact violence.
Right.
But the threat of violence, like, have a persona like, you guys want to chant? You're going to catch one. If you know you're going to Boston. Yeah, you wouldn't do
If you going to Boston or in Philadelphia, would you do that? No, you're thinking like it's a deterrent.
Right. Should I start racist chants like they do in Boston?
No, you should do some subtle racism like in Boston.
Is it subtle? I don't think it's that subtle there.
No, according to Kyrie.
Is it subtle?
Oh, you didn't see Kyrie.
You know what I saw, but is it subtle?
I do. I like the person off camera who's like, the whole world knows it. The whole world's aware of how racist Boston sports fans are.
Yeah, no, Boston sports fan. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Is it really?
I guess Kyrie suffered some subtle racism, too. Adam Jones had the not-so-subtle racism, you know, getting called the N-word from center field. Less than subtle.
I know. Bill Russell.
Just a hair less.
Bill Russell, who played there once, called Boston a flea market of racism.
Yeah. Oh, no. Bill Russell asked Bill Russell about St. Louis.
Well.
He said St. Louis was the worst.
Now, Bill Russell played.
Of course, Bill Russell
played several decades ago.
Bill Russell and his home in Boston, they came in, ransacked it, and smeared poo all over his bedroom.
Dropped a turd in there.
Yeah. So I'm not sure that's – I don't know how subtle that is.
Yeah, I don't know what he meant. Maybe it was some microaggressions coupled with the actual aggression that he felt. I don't know.
Oh, man. 713 ESPN 97.5, 7378-0377-6. What about Craig DeSurf? What about him?
This guy is doing macro deals on a daily basis. The offers that they have at Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC. So what they have right now, and what they've had now for a couple months, but remember, we're coming up on the end of the month, so there's a good chance that we'll see a change in the program. But they've had some really aggressive pricing. And it comes actually from not just the dealership level, the factory level, where they have had up to 18% off MSRP cash back, meaning 18% off of the Chevy Trax. You've got 13% off of the Equinox. You got 10% off the Chevy Blazer and the Traverse. I drive the Traverse. These are big discounts when you run through the discounts, and that's coming from the dealership level one. And they've got a look at all the different vehicles. They got $4,000 cash allowance on the Chevy Silverado 1500 crew cab. As far as Chevys, if you love Chevys, they have so many different types of larger crossover vehicles, more compact, smaller ones. The Chevy Silverado, they have standard SUVs. Whatever you're looking for, they've got it available for you. Chevy, find new roads, and you can do this in Angleton at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. To see the entire inventory in stock, go to LanceZCars.com. Chevy, find new roads.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 and 92.5, by the way. Now, the Astros and Dodgers wasn't the only sporting event in America last night. Contrary to popular belief, there was some NBA action going on.
You hate that the city of Los Angeles had a good day yesterday.
Yeah, I had a great day yesterday.
Well, I hate it. I mean, we imagine that not enough of them care about the Clippers, but it wasn't all great.
Oh, yeah, that's
great.
Right. Yeah, true, yeah. Forgot about that.
Yeah, it wasn't all great.
Yeah, the Clippers, too. But aren't the Clippers just, the Clippers.
Look, coming out of that game, watching Dallas do what they did against Clippers, and the Clippers like, yeah, we're not that concerned. Okay.
Yeah.
You're down 0-2.
Well, what are they supposed to say, though?
You could say, hey, this sucks and we need a win, but they're not that concerned.
18 of 34 three-pointers for the Mavs yesterday. Tim Hardaway Jr. was awesome. 127-121. It's like the Clippers don't even, I don't know, they don't even care. Their defense is just ridiculous.
And this was a Clippers team who did everything possible to keep the Lakers on the other side of the bracket, and in turn, they wanted to face the Mavs. And
yeah.
Not, hey, the Mavs are trying to get away from the Clippers, so it was more of a sign of respect where the Clippers like, yeah, we'll take on the Mavs. We'd like that challenge. Ugh, no, not so much, no.
How's that challenge doing for you?
Yeah, look, The problem for the Clippers is not only would it be an embarrassing display to go out like this after losing a 3-1 lead last year, it's now you have to worry. Now you have to, this whole offseason will be whether Kawhi wants to stay. He can leave.
Well, and are we starting that already 2 games into the series?
Well, they're down 0-2 and they have to go on the road.
You have to start that.
Oh, no.
I think Kyrie is going Kawhi. To turn into vagabond a little bit.
Kawhi.
I mean, yeah, I'm sorry, Kawhi. And I think LeBron, you know, they need to win a championship, or that could. There's a reason that all that stuff is now leaking, that LeBron was considering the Knicks previously. I think that's being leaked out there just to kind of get conversation going. I've never met somebody who wants their name in the. Well, whatever. But to stick with Dallas now, Luka at a very young age. Luka is do you know how old Luka is?
22.
Yeah. Luka's 22 years old, just turned 22 in February. For a player like this to be putting up these performances, 39 points. You know, I likened him a couple years ago when he was a rookie to Tracy McGrady. It's hard to come up with a comp for him. He's not the athlete that Tracy was, but he is that kind of ball handler. He's a multifaceted, taller player. It's hard for me to put a comp. People are going to want to try to put Bird on him. He's a different player than Bird. They're gonna. I don't know who else you put.
Yeah, but I don't know about McGrady.
I mean, what he is he's the new Dirk, obviously, because he's the Mavericks' new Dirk. He can do anything. He does it well. He's going to score in bunches. He had 5 threes yesterday. Had 39 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, and they win again on the road against the Clip. I mean, at age 22, it's a no-brainer that Luka is one of the superstars of the league because he can carry – he's hit some massive game-winning shots already. Like, he's got some headline-writing, iconic shots to win games at the buzzer from deep distance in the playoffs in the bubble last year. And I just think that Luka right now is one of those top five guys along with Giannis. I guess you say KD, LeBron. Do you not say James? I mean, don't you have to say James? If you had to say who are the five superstars of the next 5 years, we can leave LeBron out if we say the next 5 years, I think. So you have to say Luka, Giannis.
Next 5 years?
Tatum?
Well, I think James is still going to be around doing
probably.
It.
Probably. So is Devin Booker going to be in that mix? I mean, he hasn't taken it to that
KD
step yet.
KD's still going to be around.
I would say KD you still have.
Yeah.
If I say the next 5 years, it does make you think a little bit of KD.
Now, these guys are going to be around for the next 10 or more years.
Yeah. Well, okay, so if you say the next 8 years. KD I knock out. James I might knock out. I mean, James played a long time already.
What about Booker?
Well, that's what I asked.
Yeah.
I don't know, but superstar put the team back though.
Finally in the playoffs, maybe people are going to notice him a little bit more. We'll see what happens in this series and going forward. But the dude is awesome.
God, I think Ja Morant.
Ja, yep.
Maybe Zion.
Yeah.
He averaged 27 this
year. No, he's good. No.
Ja Morant, Zion. I think maybe Jason Tatum. Jason really has showed something this year. Luka. And I don't know.
Hey, there's a lot of guys. There's a lot of really good players. Hey, Anthony Edwards was awesome this year. Awesome. He's going to be Rookie of the Year. Who knows what's going to happen with him going forward. He was lost in Minnesota. So
yeah, one of these guys is going to step up.
Probably.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll be whoever the Rockets get this year.
Yeah. It's going to be that guy.
We didn't talk about it very much. The Rockets did already have some draft lottery stuff happened because they own other teams' picks.
Mm-hmm.
Portland's picks and their own. And there's another team. Not their own because that could go to OKC. But they have two picks, and those one of the picks was involved in a tiebreaker, and they lost that tiebreaker.
That's
so
good.
So they already lost one tiebreaker. Now you got to hope.
No, that's good because now because the law of averages is going to be on their side for the big.
So you don't think it's a run of bad luck, or you just think
no. Right? No, you're not going to lose all the time. So they're going to. That's a great thing that they lost that tiebreaker. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It's a perfect thing. So they're going to get a top four pick.
There's no guarantee they're going to.
Yes, they are. You watch it if they're going to get it or not.
You
and then tell me how right I was.
You hope they get a top four pick.
Yeah. Oh man, this guy. You mean Paul Stewart, John Granato, a rough night for your Astros. You mean for your cheaters? Oh, gosh. I don't know if you heard that. Did you see that story about the Dodgers, about Eric Kratz, who said the Dodgers were the ones that were cheating, doing the same thing that the Astros were doing there, Paul? You remember, Paul? Oh, gosh. Yeah, I remember it. But no, I don't hear anybody talking about that. Where's the story? Where's Jeff Passan on this story?
Nowhere.
Where's Buster Olney on this story?
Nowhere.
Where are the guys on this story? Eric Kratz.
Well, he's not.
Eric Kratz is the is a whistleblower, and yet nobody wants to listen.
He's doing not, voracious he's not credible. Cheering as the Astros lose to the Dodgers. What do you mean? Where are they? Just look in the Dodgers fan section.
That
section.
Did Buster
that
Olney have his Kershaw jersey on last night?
They're all standing, woo, booing Altuve from the third base dugout, since apparently it's a road game for the Astros. I was so disgusted hearing the boos rain down on Altuve. I'm like, what is going on with this?
Well, then now everybody's got to be standing and screaming and cheering for him while they're doing that. That's what's got to happen tonight. And guess what's going to happen tonight? That you're going to hear me on there. You're going to hear me screaming.
Why? Because you're going to be the only one cheering at the time?
I'm going to be cheering. No, you are going to hear me tonight.
Where are you sitting there? We're going to hear you. What? This is radio. You have to say something. Go ahead.
I got good seats.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So are we going to see you too?
Will we be able to hear you?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be actually, I'm going to be right behind the on-deck circle for the visiting team. You think I'm not going to be Eric Kratz?
No, you're not.
You don't think he has
supposed
that
to
in
say, him? Theragun. Theragun.
Well, that's a Colorado thing. We don't know what the Dodgers did. You got to chant Eric Kratz.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Eric. Hey, Eric Kratz says you guys cheat. Cheaters.
You have to keep it up for 9 innings.
I am going to. Oh, you guess who's not going to be able to talk tomorrow morning? This guy. Okay.
Well,
the combination of Coors Lights, and screaming all night.
Just bring a sign that says Eric Kratz.
I got to bring my glove. I can't.
Who are you?
I got to
bring my glove. Why you got to bring your glove?
Yeah. Because just in case there's a foul ball.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Me and Cal bring gloves to the game.
Knowledge is power.
727 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3. That wasn't a jab, was it? Was that a little jab?
I don't know if it was a jab. I do know that site jabs, I consider them friends. They're somebody who does great work. I love the fact that they've been in business here in Houston for over 2 decades. And I remember when I first started using the internet, it was like, I don't know, 95-ish, 96. And dial up. And I'm talking about ESPN. ESPN wasn't even a big deal back then, their website. And you want to talk about basic. The design and everything about it was basic. And as time has progressed, you know, my friends over SiteJab started there in the late 90s, and they've progressed with the technology of what's been available to websites, and they've stayed on the cutting edge. For over 2 decades, they've kept different websites fresh. They freshen them up every couple years, 2 or 3 years. And if you haven't had your website freshened up in even just 2 to 3 years, you could be way behind on certain elements of e-currency or, you know, even just basic design that's helping to keep your website as efficient as it can be. You need a website that stands out. You need a website that is going to convert eyes into business. There's a flow to it. There's a design to it. It's very important that you have something that's updated. And they do so much more than just web design. And you can check out all their entire suite of products and what they offer your small to medium-sized business when you go to the site. Sitejab.com. SITEJAB.com. That's SITEJAB.com. Check them out for yourself at sitejab.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, Kai. I'm not sure if we're going to talk to you before game 3. I know when you were in Boston, you always had such good things to say about the crowds there and the feeling of playing at the Garden. What do you expect now that there's going to actually be people there in the building as opposed to last time?
I mean, it's not my first time being an opponent in Boston. So, you know, I'm just looking forward to competing with my teammates and, you know, hopefully we can just keep it strictly basketball. You know, there's no belligerence or any racism going on, subtle racism and people yelling from the crowd. But even if it is, it's part of the nature of the game and we're just going to focus on what we can control.
Is it something you've experienced in Boston before?
I'm not the only one that could attest to this, but it's just, you know, it is what it is.
It's kind of funnier when you hear it that way because you realize it's almost that inside joke with players saying, yeah, it's Boston.
Yeah, it's Boston.
And at the very end, you hear someone off camera going, the whole world knows it.
And then he said, the whole world
knows it. Yeah, we didn't get that part of it, but KD. Yeah, that was the very end of it.
Right.
He says KD.
Yeah. So, yeah. This is
Kyrie's
not, is this really like some kind of revelation that he just... Come on.
No, it's not.
It's Boston. It's been going on. It's been forever.
You just don't normally... I mean, Adam Jones did it coming off of being called the N-word. You just don't normally hear it pre-game, like pre the actual event. Yeah, just hopefully no racism occurs. Like, where does that... You don't hear that in press conferences. Just hopefully you go...
Yeah, no, Kyrie was waiting to say... I think, I think Kyrie also doesn't like being yelled at by fans, although he did say... I think what Kyrie would term some subtle racism is going to be an easy, like, you suck, you're a loser. Excuse me? Is that what I think it is? That's just an angry Boston fan. But that's not to say you're not going to have some belligerent racist fans in a building. Although typically you wouldn't now because of pandemic. But the weird thing is happening. Game 3 will have 25% capacity, which is the same smattering of fans. Game 4, they're going full tilt, almost full capacity. Game 4, so they're going from one game in the same homestand, John. They're going from 25% to damn near 100%.
Well, it's 2 days later, so the pandemic will be over.
Yeah, well, the pandemic is supposed to be over. I think it's tomorrow.
Well, I thought Memorial Day was the...
No, it's... Yeah, Memorial Day is the official end of the pandemic.
Yeah.
But so that... But game four is going to start before Memorial Day.
Yeah, but right? But in Boston, it's moving from
east. Let me
east
tell you,
to, it's moving from east to west.
So I just came from Boston. I just came from Boston, and they just 3 weeks ago allowed them to take off masks in public and when they're walking outside. There was a mandate you must wear your mask outside in April. In April, you were still forced by law to wear, or by mandate, to wear your mask outside. So they are very, and most people, even though they lifted that, I'd still say probably 75 to 80% of the people that we came in contact with, me and Nicole weren't, I mean, we were fully vaccinated, but most of the people were still wearing masks out in public. So when I heard it's 25%, I thought, okay, that sounds about like what we've seen, ultra careful and conservative with that. But then they said, oh, I wonder if after Kyrie said that, okay, all right, you know what?
Watch.
All right, we're 25% because we have to do something with the league office to file for, you know, more. It almost feels like Boston said, oh, okay. Now, you know what? We're up to 100% on
it. Now, it looks like the weirdness from the increase really is about the governor making the date May 29th. Like, the governor instituted restrictions then. He said on May 29th,
that's what it is.
Restrictions go away. So it just so happened that it fell in between games.
You think he was looking at the schedule?
Well, he looked at it wrong.
If he looked at it wrong, he looked scheduled. He said May 27th.
Yeah. So, but Kyrie just poured gas on that racist fire, is all he did. It's all, I mean.
Yeah. He's going to be yelled at.
He's going to catch it.
And it's not even race. I mean, the fans are going to be so loud and obnoxious to him, I guess, in game four. Game three, can 25% of a filled stadium throw you off?
They're all chanting the same words.
I mean, he does have to take. Well, that way. I think that's going to come up on the broadcast.
It's going to be more subtle than that. Now, listen,
Kyrie takes days off. It doesn't take much for Kyrie to have to take a mental health day. It doesn't take a lot.
Well, we have seen in European soccer where a guy gets called something and he goes, I'm just not going to play. You're not going to call me that and play. I don't know if Kyrie would. I don't think the entire crowd in unison is going to be chanting a word or throwing something at him. But we've seen it in Europe, guys. I'm not playing. I'm walking off the field unless that stops. I don't foresee that with Kyrie. But if they said something, it could happen. Kyrie would be like, I'm not going to subject myself to this. Beat it. I'm out of here.
This is so funny. Did you see Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York?
He had words for
Trae
Young.
He got after Trae Young for...
Stop hunting fouls.
Hunting fouls
in a press conference.
You're the mayor.
He's the same guy. Wasn't he wearing like a Brooklyn Nets jersey earlier? And
now he's got his Knicks hat on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's salty because they went in and beat them in game one.
Stop hunting fouls
in their place.
He's the mayor. He's got
But if you hunt fouls, you hunt fouls. What does he think of when they play Brooklyn?
What?
Well, he wouldn't say.
And J-Mo's jumping off on you.
No, he's got stuff to worry about. Not Trae Young. Okay. He shouldn't be, okay, is the league going to fine him for going after Trae Young? Is the NBA going to fine him?
We'll see.
We'll see. If they don't try. Hey, you're talking about a player from another team, Mayor. You're not supposed to do that, okay?
He goes, what do you mean? You don't have any jurisdiction over me.
Well, I'm sure Adam Silver thinks he does. I mean,
they're both based in New York.
So not a great day here, per se. What with the 9 walks and the 9 runs? And the Dodgers taking over the Minute Maid Dodger Stadium. It was not our finest moment last night.
We had
say the least.
Dodger fan groups and bars getting together and chanting, "Let's go Dodgers!" It was a mini take for a Tuesday afternoon. It was like or night. Hey, can the Dodger fans? Well, you just traveled here for a Tuesday Wednesday series. What is wrong with you two? Your group of people, first of all,
get out of California.
Well, okay. I guess, but for May 25th and May 26th, you just decided, hey, let's just hang out.
Well, it's
in
the only
middle
time
of the
they're
week.
Here, right?
I think so. Yeah.
It's their only trip here, so it didn't matter when they were coming. They were going to take over this stadium. But apparently, I don't know. I don't know that this is the truth. Well, it was on Twitter, so it's got to be true.
Of course.
But Jim Crane was irate with the ticket people.
He was?
Yeah, because how did we sell all these tickets to these Dodger groups?
Ticket people as in his own?
Yeah, his own ticket people.
Are you allowed to
Yes, you can. Yes.
You cannot sell tickets?
Yes, yes. You can
check zip codes.
There,
or what?
Where was it? What was it? There was a playoff game that you couldn't buy tickets if you had a driver's license from that state of the opponent.
I mean, I'm fine.
I remember
with that.
This happened not within the last 5 years or so, that they would not allow you to buy tickets if your driver's license was from the opponent.
Was it a
state.
College football?
No, it was a playoff game. It was a pro playoff game. Anyway, so
I'm cool with that. That's
I'm cool
fine
with
me.
It too.
I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I think you want to maintain your home field. You can't do anything about secondary ticket market. So if you can't do anything about that, you should be able to maybe lock in on your own home base when it comes to ticket sales. Because obviously Dodgers fans bought block tickets. Well, it couldn't have been that long ago because the Astros only recently decided they were going to go full tilt.
Well, John, I'm looking at apparently the Tampa Bay Lightning made sure they were banning Blackhawk fans for buying tickets online. You had to have a credit card associated with the zip code in Florida, or you wouldn't be allowed to buy tickets.
Okay, that was it.
To
then.
Try to keep them out of
the building.
I think
there was something else. There
I'm
was
sure it's happened
too.
Before, but if you wore Blackhawks apparel, they weren't going to let you in the building. And if you went through Ticketmaster and the Lightning saw that your zip code wasn't Florida-based, beat it. You can't buy tickets.
Aaron thinks it was the Brewers not letting anyone outside of Wisconsin buy tickets for their games.
I'm sure it's happened more than
I think that actually sure is. Happened, that yeah. does sound.
So let's start. Let's do it. Do it. Do it. Do it now.
Well, Jim, tell your boy when you see him tonight, scream over at him.
I'm going to scream over at him.
Okay.
Hey, Crane, stop selling tickets. Tell
you go
Dodger.
Scream at Jim Crane, too, see what happens.
Oh, he's already told Jim Crane, I can't stand baseball.
He was in the building, and I was like, yeah,
I'm Real tried, hey, can you get Dell some tickets? Dell was like, I don't want them. He told Crane, he doesn't want his tickets.
I think I said it would be a waste of time.
Yeah.
You shouldn't give them to me. Give them to someone who cares.
He was like, Jim Crane's like, what?
Well.
You mean the champs? You don't want to go see the champs?
Learn the name of your pitcher, all right? If you can learn the name of your pitcher, then I'll be interested.
Derek Cole was, you know what? Now he's Derek to all of us.
That's
now.
Fine, but while he was on the roster, learn that his name is Garrett, and then I'll take your ticket offer seriously.
Yeah. Jason was there. My voice is gone from yelling last night. Garrett and I started to do it in October chant every time the Dodgers did something good.
Well, they did it.
They did last year. Didn't
yeah.
Yeah. And look at that back of Kershaw's hat. Just pine tar all over it.
Yeah.
No, I mean all over the back of his cap. And he just grabs the back of his cap all the time, and he's got pine tar. But we're the cheaters. But we're the cheaters. And dude's got pine tar all over his hat. And it's obvious. Where's Joe West when we need him?
He's breaking records is what he's doing.
Joe West does break records.
I didn't know they kept records for umpires. Like, I didn't know they kept track of that. Like, really? It's like keeping
it's
track
baseball,
of your accountant coming to work. Oh, look, my accountant's here at work. Who cares? I don't care if an umpire calls
baseball.
A lot of games.
It's baseball. They keep a record of everything.
Does he get honored by baseball?
Well, he did. Did you see?
They gave him a plaque or something?
The chicken, San Diego chicken gave him flowers.
But that's not an official baseball act. Like, is baseball going to give him something for calling that many games?
Baseball should, but for being a good trooper for all these years, making sure the right teams win. Right? That's what Joe West does.
You better watch yourself. You want to be like Paulo Dukka? And get your ass sued?
So, that's true. Joe West sued him and won.
Yeah.
Is this you? Well, Nicole is...
No, I like that, where Bobby's eating chips off.
Bobby's head. Eating chips off. He's laying in bed and not even touching them. He's eating
an iPad.
Chips with his tongue.
We didn't even have a smart TV, so I was watching my show on an iPad. But, I mean, it's not that far off. I didn't have chips on my chest. I wasn't eating like that, but I was laying. At some point, I felt so bad. I'm like, man, she's hiking 6.5 hours. This is besides a two-hour drive. So the day was like, it was going to
so
be
you had
a,
all day.
No, it's a 10-hour. Yeah. And at one point, I got bored. And when you get bored in West Texas, which is going to happen, I just went on a 2-mile walk, just walking through. And it wasn't blazing hot there like it was when we first got there at La Jitas. That was an abomination. 104 when I was hiking.
A 2-mile walk, that's like what? About 45 minutes or so? No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but then I got a call from, oh no, not an hour. It's faster than that. But then I got a call from, hey, come check out the distillery. And they're in the process of building a distillery. So, I mean, there's not a lot to do. When you, when your only Netflix is on a, like, that's where I wish I had the Xbox. I wish I'd have brought an Xbox. I don't think it would have gone over well with Nicole. Why are you bringing an Xbox? You're going to be hiking. You don't have time to have Xbox. But I will at one point. What you don't know is that I'm going to have time for an Xbox.
So anyway, that does look a little... That kind of looks like what you would have been doing.
That's not that far. If I'd have been at home and had my own bag of chips, that's the only thing I wasn't
You wouldn't
eating.
Pour them on your chest, though, and then eat them with your tongue.
No, no.
You would actually use your hands.
And I'd lay on my side and eat them out of a bowl while I'm watching my own TV on iPad.
Okay. Well, so that's inaccurate.
Yeah.
So,
it's hyperbole.
Okay. Maybe you took it a step too far.
Yeah.
Brewers launched
I'm not
ticket
Bobby.
Plan
I'm not Bobby
aimed
Hill.
At keeping Cub fans out of Miller Park.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and so let's maybe we can learn something from the Brewers.
Or fight those people. Yeah. Hey.
Was there a Dez making reference to a fight at a bar?
Yeah, there was a Dodger fan fight in the bar.
The Dodgers were fighting Dodgers?
I didn't look at it very closely, but I know it was a couple Dodger fans involved.
You see it on Twitter?
She put it, I guess it's her pinned tweet. She added, I think, all of us.
Yesterday or?
Or I don't remember when, but yeah, it's Dodger fans in a bar fighting because they're the worst people in the world.
Yeah, no question. Oh my goodness. It is awful, all these Dodgers fans. They had their own three sections in the outfield.
I hope they're turning on the radio listening because, ESPN Houston, let's listen to, you guys suck is what we're saying to you.
Yeah, call in if you want. But
F
I mean,
off, a-holes.
I can't believe that they have entire sections, Dodger sections, man. This is embarrassing, and it pisses me off.
Did LZ bother using a food towel in the hotel rooms or just let the housekeeping deal with the carnage?
No, housekeeping. You just...
Yeah.
If you have a muffin or whatever, you just brush the stuff onto the ground. It's my problem.
745 ESPN. A muffin or something. 745 ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, we're back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance along with Dell, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776 is the number.
Hey, so we probably need to address this right now. Art says, I feel like J.R. Tolles kidnapped Yordan and has him tied up in a basement, then put on a Yordan mask and showed up at Minute Maid Park like some Scooby-Doo bleep. Hashtag Astros, hashtag not my Yordan. In his last seven games, he is 3 of 26.
Yeah, no, he's struggling.
His OPS is down to 869 now. Remember when it was over 1,000?
Yeah.
He has 4 RBIs during that time. He has not had a hit in his last 13 at-bats.
Well, name the guy that's really, kicking some ass right now.
Well, none, but, I mean, Yordan is now 26 at-bats into not kicking ass.
Yeah. Okay. And,
I want it to be
Carlos was 2 for 32. Okay.
That's who Carlos has just been, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yordan, we have high hopes of him being one of the best young players in the league. And look, it's a big deal. It's just it's a small sample size. Just unfortunately, that sample size includes being swept by a team that was ice cold when they came to play you, and then you're getting mauled by the Dodgers. Yordan needs to step up and do something because we've got to have somebody get some juice in that building. We really do.
Yeah.
That was all, and I'm actually not joking, so I don't want to say all jokes aside. I was really pissed off at how full of Dodger fans that stadium was, and then that Astros fans just got overcome by Dodger fans. The Astros fans were loud, don't get me wrong, but then they at some point the bullpen just robbed them of everything that they could possibly yell and scream about, and they started leaving the game. And, the Dodgers fans are going to be just as loud in this one as well. And then you got a loudmouth and Bauer, who you already don't like, pitching against the Astros. You need someone to step up and ruin Bauer tonight. I mean, you really, wouldn't it be great to throw five on him and four and a third and chase him in the fifth inning?
It's amazing, though, how this team is so streaky. It is so,
really are.
It's unbelievable how they just, when they get into a funk, it'll last. And this is the worst time. I mean, going into, why did the Rangers ruin them? That's what I don't get. After they played so well in Oakland, I don't know. This team just seems like it's just cowering in the corner. It just does not, it doesn't have any juice whatsoever. And it's just a shame. Yeah, listen, there's only one guy now. I mean, they were hitting so well and looking so good. One guy's over 900 OPS, and that's Yuli. Bregman is 879. Castro's actually hitting this year. Maybe it's because he's got so few at-bats, because it's so few and far between, and he's not getting worn out. But it's, you know what? I don't mind seeing Castro at the plate anymore. Yordan's down to 869. He was over 1,000 a couple of weeks ago. Brantley is, can we have a Michael Brantley sighting anytime soon? That'd be great if Michael Brantley could play sometime. Apparently he's got sore legs.
Mm-hmm.
Sore legs? It's baseball. You don't have to run. You don't ever have to run. Why do you need your legs? Why do you need any? You don't need any legs. It's okay. Get back out there. I mean, it just seems like, when they hit together for whatever reason, this is a team that really feeds off of each other. When they suck, they all suck together. And when they're good, they're all good together. So maybe somebody will light this fire.
People are sour, just like Mark Foster says. Keyshawn Johnson's the most annoying voice on your station. His arrogance and allegiance to all things LA is unbearable. That's where he's from.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where he's from. So.
Yeah. That's going to happen. Let's switch it up. I want to talk right now about, so apparently there is an article here that says the Texans are moving down in the power rankings. When were they ever up in the power rankings? Peter King, Pro Football Talk's Peter King, placed the Texans at the bottom of the league at 32.
Is it because they traded, they released Ryan Finley?
Probably got rid of, yeah.
Less depth at the quarterback position?
Yeah. Apparently, when you get rid of a Ryan Finley, I mean, you've ruined your team. If you are going to release a Ryan Finley. So this might change if Deshaun Watson plays for 8 games. Deshaun Watson is not playing for any games. Can we all agree on that Deshaun Watson will never take the field again in the Texans uniform?
I can agree.
Yeah.
I can agree. It would have to take something drastically wrong where Deshaun has no option but to play for the Texans. There's no, I don't see, and frankly, the Texans need so much more than Deshaun Watson right now. Of course, you don't have anything if you don't have a plus quarterback. But at this point, they're so broken. They're so fundamentally broken right now. And so, up to this point, Nick Caserio has just been uninspiring with what he has done through the draft. I mean, the Ryan Finley is a great example. I know he'll look at that as no big deal. You just gave up a few draft slots. Why are we just throwing away draft slots? The guy didn't even make the team. Why are you flip-flopping? And I understand you gave up a 6th and you got a 7th and you only lose a few draft slots to bring in a quarterback to offer the potential to be a backup. I get all that. It's just that the Patriots have this mode of just dumping second-round picks. Like, it's like they don't consider – while I respect getting away from mistakes, you have to do a better job of evaluating talent rather than just treating draft picks like they lack in value. Second, third, fourth round picks, they have value. And Nick Caserio just went into this draft just flinging picks around, moving up for wide receiver, and then moving up for a backup linebacker who's a special teams player. Like, that doesn't make any sense. What are you doing, Nick? You've been around this business for over 20 years. And then, you flip-flop on this stuff. Look, Ryan Finley, he was, God forbid he ever hit the field. God forbid. The guy can't even make it to phase 3. How bad is your pro side evaluation, your pro personnel side, where you're evaluating tape and evaluating talent, where you miss that badly that you don't even get to phase three with the guy you traded for.
Hmm.
Like, okay, well, it's no big deal. We just lost a few draft spots. Why did you bring him in the first place? What in your evaluation process is so broken that you brought him in? You brought a guy in who couldn't even compete with Jeff Driskel? Like, what are you – who's running this team? Are you guys good evaluators? Because I swear to God, what I've seen so far is really troubling to me. Because Bill O'Brien was a total goof when it came to evaluations, and well, especially just roster management. But, I mean, Nick, we talked about this enough. Nick Caserio's last 6 to 8 years with the Patriots, if you look at Bill Belichick's draft and assume, which Field Yates told us, he was very, very involved, and most of it is Nick Caserio. Like, Bill Belichick has final say, but a lot of that is Nick Caserio. That was some scary drafts that the Patriots have had over the last few years. And now he's with the Texans, and his first draft is like, ugh, this doesn't look good. Granted, no one's even played a game, so we'll see, and hopefully he's wrong, I'm right. But
what?
Yeah. I'm hoping he's wrong. I'm sorry. I'm hoping he's right.
We
and I'm
know
wrong.
He really what? Feels. Well, he just told us how he really wants to run.
That's not a Freudian slip. I'm hoping he's right and I'm wrong, and that Garrett Wallow becomes one of the great linebackers in Texans history.
Well,
and that Nico Collins is the next Andre Johnson, because that's how they're getting treated with all these flinging picks around trying to get up and move. And Davis Mills, we left out the top guy, Davis Mills.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I would assess. I'm not sure that this Texans defense is going to be as bad as last year's Texans defense.
Very hard to be.
It really would be. Last year, they allowed 70% completion percentage, 109.3 passer rating. They had 3 interceptions while they gave up 30 touchdowns. Is this going to be worse? Is this really going to be worse?
Well, you have actual guys who have, you know, have started, you know, consistently for other teams.
Yeah.
I mean, the other teams were fine letting them go, but at least they were contributors to other teams, and Mitchell and King. So can the Pat, now you're probably just as bad with your pass rush, if not worse, because JJ isn't here. So you probably, Shaq Lawson,
I don't know,
will
collectively
give you about,
they might be able to be better.
With who?
Well, I mean, well.
What, the well, Shaq Lawson 4.5 sacks you can expect this year or so?
And Whitney.
Yeah, I mean, why would they be better?
Well, they can, you know, I don't know. But
maybe Lovey
schemes.
Will dial up some blitzes.
Are they going to be better at the linebacker position with Kirksey, Jenkins, with Pierre Lewis? They just picked up Neville Hewitt. They could be better.
A lot of borderline backup / special teamers, and Neville Hewitt particularly. Kirksey has started, and Joel would tell you it didn't go well.
No, I mean, they're a bunch of phase two guys.
They're just a bunch of guys. Could they be better? I think if they could be better schematically, because Lovey is more competent than Anthony Weaver.
And that matters.
That matters a lot.
That would matters help. To
Anthony
me.
Weaver, some of the decisions, the guys he left on an island, was awful.
Did you hold guys accountable for not maintaining their run fits and things like that? Like, there's certain things in coaching where guys need to respect you. And if Lovey, you know, hold guys accountable.
There's nobody on this team that has the pelts like JJ does and just says, I'm doing what I want. There's nobody. So you do have to, they might be better collectively as a unit.
Well, I mean, they couldn't be worse. They were terrible against the run last year.
And the pass.
Yeah.
So terrible pass against, and run, they're terrible. So I think that combination wasn't a good one defensively.
When you're terrible in both facets of defense.
Right. Pass and run.
Did they commit a lot of penalties on defense last year? Were they even good in that sense? Were they not penalized very much?
We got to look that up, see if they were.
Were they
where
awful
they were.
In terms of committing defensive penalties?
Let's take one here, top of the hour, 8 o'clock, ESPN 97.5, 713, 780, 3776. Jay, we'll get you in here on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.